Sir James Galway has been dubbed Lord of the Flute, has recorded over 60 albums and sold over 30 million of them worldwide over his 50-year career. For his latest CD on the Sony Classical RCA Red Label, Sir James has teamed up with the Cuban ensemble Tiempo Libre. It's called O'Reilly Street, and brings Sir James Galway back to the show today. Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. What is the title of the album O'Reilly Street refer to?
Well, in the British stockade in Cuba, there was a General O'Reilly in charge of the whole bit, and when the Spanish invaded Cuba, he successfully fought them off. So the Cubans made a street called O'Reilly Street after him.
So an Irishman finds something nice to say about an Englishman?
Well, he was actually Irish.
Ah, yes, O'Reilly, of course.
A name like that. But I don't have any problem with that either.
Now, why collaborate with Tiempo Libre? They don't play classical music, do they?
This isn't classical music. It's a piece by... The music is by Claude Bowling, and it's for classical flute and jazz piano.
So this is that other side of you. You've done a lot of classical music. In fact, didn't you just open the New York Philharmonic's fall
season?
Yeah,
I did. It was great fun, too.
You weren't playing Claude Bowling on that.
No, we were playing the Ebert Flute Concerto, and I was struggling with that beast.
Wait, really struggling? Do you still have problems with some difficult pieces?
Sure. Difficult pieces always remain difficult. They don't become easier.
Now, why are they difficult? Is it because a composer didn't understand the instrument?
Mostly composers don't understand the instrument unless they play it. You know, Mendelssohn, for example, took several years to write the E minor concerto for violin. Mm-hmm. And there's not many composers who actually play the flute. Tchaikovsky played the flute, but it didn't make any difference. He still wrote really hard flute bits.
So they're writing flute parts as though it's the violin or some other instrument.
And it's
up to you.
Just write it and let you get on with it, give you something to do during the day, a bit of practice.
Well, but Bach was pretty good on the flute.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, he seemed to understand it. And there is a Bach piece on this, although done in a kind of a jazz style.
Yeah.
Suite number 2 in B minor, at least one of the movements from it.
That's right, the Badinery. Well, the guys used to play that anyway, and they just incorporated B into it. Because, you know, it's one of these pieces that everybody knows. This. Everybody knows it. And they used to play it on their own. And when I came along, I was they just wrote a cadenza in there and off we went.
But Bach also composed in a time when people played recorders. Mm-hmm. And so they had a better sense, I would think, of tuning that flute.
Well, I'm not sure. Bach was an organist, you know, and I'm not sure if he actually played the flute. But one of his kids played the flute.
Meanwhile, we have this group, Tiempo Libre, which means free time.
Yes.
Does that refer to their approach to music, or is there a political aspect?
I don't know.
To that?
I didn't get into that. You'll have to ask Jorge.
That's Jorge Gomez, who also composed some of the pieces on the album.
Mm-hmm. And who is a truly great, great piano player.
Now, do you get bored with just doing the same repertoire? Is that why you have recorded classical music, jazz, now Cuban music as well?
No, I don't get bored at all. I mean, I'm a great practicer, and what I do is I don't have a practice routine. I'm a progressive practicer. That means I progress as I practice. It doesn't stay the same.
I'm not sure I understand. You start off with something simple and then just keep on making it harder and harder?
Yeah, when I was 14, I started off simple. And then you get to the Paris Conservatoire where they really put the screws on you with the scales and arpeggios and difficult pieces. And after that, you join an orchestra. Then the orchestra life fades a bit and you lose interest in that and you take up golf. Well, I didn't take up golf. I took up the flute.
Well, you also, when you played for an orchestra, you were playing for Herbert von Karajan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he has a reputation. He is a reputation for being a rather difficult person to have dealt with. And you were his principal flute player from 1969 to 1975 in the Berlin Philharmonic.
Yeah.
Was it as rough as I imagined?
No. I mean, he was very nice to people. And, I mean, he was very dictatorial. I mean, he just wanted to have it his way. That was it. And I agree with that because... You can't have 120 people doing their own thing. You need some sort of sense of direction. and he had iron hand direction. It was very, very good.
Well, you also play the violin, but I would you ever take that seriously?
No, I gave up the violin because the violin was being eaten by several thousand Irish woodworms as I played.
And a flute is metal, so that's less likely to happen.
But
also, isn't there more work for a flute player because there are billions of violinists in the world and a lot of very good ones, but the competition's a little less. I mean, you had Jean-Pierre Rampal, and I can't think of two or three others who have worldwide reputations.
Well, there's Emmanuel Pau, there's Davide Formisano, there's Rafael Trevisan,
well, you would know
William Bennett and all these guys. I mean, all these guys actually have international careers.
Mm-hmm. But you've been around now for 50 years doing this, haven't you?
Something like that.
Well, you're 68 or so, and I'd imagine that at a certain point, the touring and doing all the work starts getting wearing.
Well,
and does an embouchure, isn't that affected by age?
Let me start several questions back.
Okay.
The touring, that is a real bind because you have to go through all the security and stuff. But you get down to the essentials, so you just bring the essential stuff through. In the old days, we used to bring bags and suitcases every full of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nobody can't bring water through
anymore. No, no. Well, I'm surprised they took so long to do that because, you know, water could be substituted for a flame-throwing material. You know, you could set fire to the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And
But a flute player needs to wet his lips, doesn't he?
Yeah, but we don't need to do it. I mean, all this water drinking is only a substitute for cigarette smoking or something. I don't know. People drink so much water, it's incredible. There's the daily grind of finding a place to practice. And I always practice in the bathroom in the hotel. And, you know, to this day, only two people have complained in all my 50 years of practicing in hotels.
Well, but a flute is not as loud as some instruments.
Well, it depends how loud you play it.
Do you play loud enough so that
I would
hear it in three rooms away?
Oh, sure. I play it so that it's I don't practice like just for practicing. I practice like it is the performance. I practice performing. You see, that's the difference between my practice and, let's say, the practice of somebody who's in an orchestra and doesn't just learning the notes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not learning the notes. I know the notes, and I'm really getting it to project, getting it to have a good sound, getting the intonation right, getting the hard bits right.
So practice is really also working on interpretation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Your grandfather was a flute player as well, right? Yeah. Do you think that there's a flute-playing gene in you?
Well, you've been doing your homework.
I know what kind of flute you play on, a Muromatsu.
No, I don't.
Not anymore?
No, I gave him up. But my grandfather did play the flute. And he taught my Uncle Joe. My Uncle Joe taught me, and he taught my dad as well. But I was sort of 12 at the time and didn't want to know about my dad. You know, I was sort of started the rebellion early. But you could say that the flute is in our family.
And many people, when that is the case, rebel, as you say. And the last thing you want to do is play a flute. And if they've been growing up with classical music, the last thing they want to hear is classical music.
Yeah, well, I didn't grow up with classical music, actually, because my mom and dad played in a little dance band. And then I played in a marching band. And then I got into playing all sorts of other things. And somehow or other, classical music just grabbed me because there were so many great tunes to play.
Well, did playing with Tiempo Libre bring back that memory of the dance band? Because their music has mainly been meant for dancing, and when you play music like that, where the beat is important, syncopation is important, you have to adjust, don't you?
Oh, I had a real quick learning curve there, I can tell you, to learn this Latin jazz. Because, you know, and these guys have tremendous rhythm. I mean, really tremendous. It's wonderful how they play together. You know, I would compare them to the Emerson String Quartet or some ensemble like that.
Because they work so closely together?
It's so tight. The rhythm is so exact. And then you have Jorge playing the piano, which is really on genius level.
My guest is Sir James Galway, whose latest CD is called O'Reilly Street. And I have been avoiding calling you a flutist or a flautist because I know you don't like that. But everybody else seems to be okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too now.
Oh, you finally have come to grips with it because many people have called you that over the years?
They called me worse than that. Certain things change as you get older and you get used to being called all sorts of things.
Is it possible to play work too many times? Because there are some war horses that they're going to bring out for you.
No, I don't believe it is. I believe if you are really committed and you really care about the music, you will learn something every time you play something. You will know something more about it.
So if you play a thing 1,000 times, the 1,001st time, this is like actors who say often that near the end of the run, they understand all sorts of things about a character that they didn't have at the beginning.
It suddenly clicks in. I understand what you're saying, and I think it's true with the flute. You know, and this is why I like teaching the flute, because I can teach it from a point of view of a player. I mean, when I teach him the Ebert Flute Concerto, I can say, well, you know, last week I played it 4 times, whereas a normal college flute teacher may never have played it.
It's different than other instruments of the sort. Many people in jazz double flute and saxophone, but the saxophone is a reed instrument. You're playing into a hole, and you have to somehow get quality of vibration.
Yeah, well, we specialize in that. You know, I feel sorry for the saxophone players when you've been playing the sax. You know, imagine playing a baritone sax for 20 minutes, and then you have to do something on the flute. I mean, the chances of getting a note are very minimal.
Your lips are in a totally different place.
But I think they do great, and they have an individual sort of sound, you know, the saxophone doubling sound. But some doublers are really very, very good. You know, they're remarkably good.
In 2003, you formed the Music Education Consortium. What was that all about?
Well, that was to try and get the British government to start teaching music again in the schools, because they cut the music program. And in fact, we did meet the Secretary for Education, and he did agree with us on that. But I don't know where it went, because after that, one of the members sadly passed away. And it sort of we dropped the ball, because I was never in England to do anything about it.
Even though England has honored you a couple of times, you got an OBE in 79, you were knighted by Queen Elizabeth for services to music in 2001. Received an honorary degree of Doctor of Music, University of St. Andrews in Scotland. To me, the most important thing, didn't Nicole Kidman play one of your recordings while she was giving birth?
I don't know if she did it while giving birth, but she listened to a lot of my recordings when she was pregnant.
She was hoping that somehow it would go through her stomach to the child?
I don't know. I never discussed it with her, but she just liked it.
One other thing before you go, because we're running out of time. The label you recorded for is Sony Classical RCA Red Label. Now, when I was a kid, RCA and Columbia, that's Sony now, were the serious competitors. Mm-hmm. Now they've all merged because classical music requires that?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. It's a complete business question. You have to call up the business affairs guys down there and...
Well,
talk to them about it
some other time. Meanwhile, I'm so pleased that you were here. I've been talking with Sir James Galway, now willing to be called the flutist. His latest CD is O'Reilly Street, and it is on Sony Classical RCA Red Label. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.